This is The Attraction Factor with Pam Thomas on Empower Radio. 30 minutes to supercharge your life, move past negativity, and reclaim your personal power. Now, here's your host, Pam Thomas, on Empower Radio.
Welcome to The Attraction Factor. Not pretty enough, not smart enough, not handsome enough, not skinny enough, not young enough, not old enough, not good enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. Do any of these messages sound familiar? They do for me. I grew up with a lot of these messages, and I've really committed my life's work to blowing to bits these messages. So in just a moment, we're going to be busting to bits these messages with some practical tips and information to overcome that feeling of not good enough. But now, I'd love to share with you the attraction factor tip of the week. And that's words are forever. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you were angry and you said something you really wished you hadn't? Because you realized once it came out your mouth, you couldn't take them back. Well, sometimes when we don't mean, we end up creating more pain and trauma than the original upset. So I want to encourage you, my friends, remember, words are forever. You can choose your words. And if you're in a situation where you find tempers flaring, rather than react in the moment, take a few deep breaths first. Give yourself an opportunity to clear your mind and maybe calm down a little bit. And what you're also doing is you're giving yourself the opportunity to respond as opposed to react. So remember, words are forever. So now I want to share with you a topic that is extremely near and dear to my heart, and that's not good enough. This is a topic I have struggled with for many, 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 many years. I have clients who struggle with it. I've created a course that is dedicated to overcoming not good enough. And in all my years of dealing with these messages on a personal level and on a professional level with the clients that I work with, you know, the one question that kept coming to mind for me is, what causes the feelings of not good enough? You know, and I sat with this, and I looked at my own life, and I looked at what clients were bringing to me. And so I've made kind of a list, and you might hear some things that sound really familiar to you in terms of maybe some of the not good enough messages you've been dealing with. But I want to encourage you to really take inventory of where not good enough is showing up for you, okay? But the list that I came up with is as follows. First and foremost, comparison. When we compare ourselves to somebody else, to what other people have, to what other people are doing. Another thing that I think causes the feelings of not good enough are really buying into other people's fears and thoughts. You know, we're surrounded by people that we love and that we're close to, and maybe some people that, you know, are in our social circles, whose opinion matters. And if it's a negative opinion, sometimes we get hooked into it, and that can cause us to feel not good enough. Or maybe we're making choices that don't fit us properly and don't work out very well, which also can cause those feelings of not good enough. And for those of you who have been listening to the show for the last year, you'll know that one of the things I'm absolutely passionate about on top of this topic is self-care. And one of the things I have found to be quite prevalent at the source of those feelings of not good enough is the lack of self-care. You know, just continuing to go until there's nothing left. The other thing that I think contributes to not good enough is trying to be something we aren't in order to fit in. I think we've all done that from time to time because it's important. We want to be loved. We want to fit in. We want to have a group to call our own. And then, of course, there's the messages of not attractive enough. You know, we open up magazines and see models that have been airbrushed and look at them. And I know as a young girl, I used to look at some of those models in great envy, wishing I had their hair or their figure. And then, of course, there's the not wealthy enough. which can lead to the not good enough feeling. We also, I think, when it comes to the message of not good enough, we're dealing with old stories. Stories we've been carrying around a good majority of our life that we've come to believe as true, that we use as filters to look at the rest of the world through. And then, of course, the last one on my list is trying too hard to please, to be a people pleaser, which I think goes in line with trying to be someone we aren't in order to fit in. Whatever has caused you to feel not good enough, I want you to know it doesn't have to be that way. I want you to understand each and every one of us has what it takes, and we're all good enough. We're all more than enough. We always have been. We always will be, regardless of the trials and tribulations we've gone through in our lives, regardless of any little flaws that we have. We're all good enough. So I've given you kind of my laundry list of things that I feel contribute to the not good enough message and that perpetuate it. And I, you know, I'm just going to throw this out here. What can we do to combat those feelings of not good enough? Well, I have a couple of ideas and a couple of things that I've used personally that have worked for me. And as I always tell you, please feel free, whatever I share with you, if it doesn't resonate, if it's not something that you feel is going to be helpful to you, then leave it behind. If there's a part of it that you feel will work for you and you want to take it and tweak it, fantastic. Okay. These are just suggestions and things that I've tried in my own world as well as with my clients that have worked. That doesn't mean they work for everybody. So it is about finding what's going to work best for you. All right. Let's begin by looking at, since I mentioned comparison, let's talk about that component first. You know, we've all probably compared ourselves with someone else. You know, I wish I had her eyes. As I mentioned, I used to open up magazines to say, I wish I had her hair, or I wish I was as buff as him. I mean, those are things that we all have done. And here's the bottom line. You know, when we compare ourselves to someone else or to what someone else has, what we're really saying to ourselves is that we aren't good enough as we are, that what we have and who we are doesn't quite measure up. And in turn, we're really overshadowing what makes us who we are, what makes us unique, what makes us special. And maybe we're not even seeing it because we're too busy focusing on what we don't have or what someone else has. So, what I'd like to ask that you do, when you catch yourself in that place of comparison, I'd like to ask that you stop. Stop comparing. And maybe you reframe the comparison by highlighting one good thing about you. For example, if you're comparing yourself to someone else because they have something that you don't have, find something that you love about yourself that you can say, hey, I have great eyes and I love the color. Okay, so it's about stopping and really reframing. Instead of going down that negative path, taking a more positive approach. You know, we've talked on the show before about being able to rewire our brain. If we can catch ourselves doing something like comparison, within the first two seconds of doing it, we stop the negative side effects. Okay, so again, I want to encourage you, when you catch yourself doing it, stop. Find something that you're willing to say nice about yourself. I know that may sound cheesy, but it really does make a huge difference. And, you know, I've got a question for you, and I know it may sound like a very silly question. Have you ever been criticized before? I know I have. And I've been criticized by people that I hold near and dear. And the one thing I found is someone's critical point of view can also cause us to feel less than or small or insignificant or not good enough. And sadly, you know, we often take that criticism to heart and at face value because we trust those people. But here's the thing. Someone's critical perspective is oftentimes just their own fear turned outward. And as odd as this may sound, Criticism can also be used in relationships as a form of emotional hostage taking, or emotional abuse, or emotional blackmail. For example, no one else is going to want you, so you have to stick with me. So I'm going to highlight all your negative qualities so that you do stay around with me. Because, you know, who's going to want you with all those negative qualities? I do, but who's going to want you? You can take your power back from the criticism. Because there's a definite difference between constructive criticism and critical criticism. And the way I tell the difference, constructive criticism is said out of care and love. It's not said with hurtful intent. Constructive criticism may be something along the lines of, you know, I really wish when you talk to me about your feelings that you share with me in such a way where you're not yelling at me. Okay, that's constructive criticism. As opposed to going, all you do is yell. I can't stand when you yell. That's all you do. That's critical. That's critical criticism. So you can take your power back by setting boundaries and not allowing someone else to project their fears onto you. And I've discussed this before, but I'll quickly review what I call the three C's of boundary setting. The first one is being very clear about what your boundary is. So, for example, if someone does criticize you and is critical of you, being very clear that that's not something you're going to tolerate anymore. And setting a consequence so that if the person does criticize you, you have a consequence. That may be walking away and stopping the conversation. Okay, so getting really clear on what the boundary is that you're wanting to set, the consequence if that boundary is overstepped. The second is to communicate with the person who you're setting the boundary with. And that could be just a matter of saying, you know, I really don't appreciate it when you criticize me. So the next time you do, I'm just going to stop the conversation and I'm going to turn around and walk away. And we'll continue the conversation at a later time. And the last C in boundary setting is being consistent. You set the boundary, you've communicated the boundary, you've communicated the consequence. Now you need to be consistent with it. So it's really important that if the person does criticize you, you do what you say you're going to do, and you stop the conversation and you walk away. Because when we're not consistent with our boundaries, not only are we yet again giving our power over to the other person, but we're basically saying to that person, I don't value myself enough. I'm not good enough for you to uphold and respect my boundaries. And it's okay, I'll just set boundaries, but you can walk all over them. So it's very important that we're consistent. Another question I have for you. Have you ever made a decision or did something that just wasn't a good fit for you? And you knew it wasn't a good fit. You knew it before you got involved in it. It didn't feel right. We've all done it. I raise my hand. I've done it multiple times. And when I've done it, instead of being happy with the outcome, I ended up feeling either deflated, feeling not good enough, and in the past would go into this huge role of playing victim. Oh, woe is me. Look at the mess I made. That doesn't sound very empowering, does it? So I think it's important. There's a couple things we can do when it comes to taking on things and choices that don't fit us so that we avoid not feeling good enough. First and foremost is being able to say no. I once heard it said, and I'm sure you've probably heard it said as well, no is a complete sentence. And it truly is. And we have to get past feeling guilty for saying no. Because when we say no to the things that don't fit us, what we're really doing is we're saying, hey, I care enough about myself and I care enough about you not to engage in an activity that is not going to work out. Okay? The other thing we can do if we're making choices that don't fit us is take some time to discover a little bit about what we value most. And the reason I say that values are things that have been a part of your world for probably a very long time. And they're usually things that are inherent to who you are. I'll give you an example. I value honesty, but I also value being a woman of my word. That's important to me. And so it's important to sit down and discover what you value most. Take some time to really explore, because if you have an understanding of what your values are and what you value most, you'll be able to use that as a means to support you in saying no to the things that don't mesh with your values, so that you aren't getting involved in choices that don't fit you, and so that you're not perpetuating this not feeling good enough. Remember, when you're taking on things that don't fit, not only doesn't it serve you, but it's really not doing anybody else any favors. Because 9 times out of 10, people can tell when your heart isn't into something. So don't feel bad about saying no. And don't feel bad about starting to make choices that work for you. Because ultimately, what works for you is going to end up working for other people as well. One of the things I mentioned that kind of perpetuates the feeling of not good enough is the lack of self-care. You know, when we are fried, when we are crispy, we leave ourselves open to all sorts of self-deprecation and feelings of not good enough. And the reason that happens is when we are tired, we do not have the internal strength to fight off the demons. And it's easy to fall prey to the, you know, I'm not feeling enough feelings and thoughts. But, you know, think about it. When you're run down, it's really difficult to keep a smile on your face. It's really difficult to make positive choices because you're just tired. So I want to encourage you to make self-care a daily habit. And I know that there are several people probably thinking that's going to be tough because I have so many responsibilities and obligations. And maybe there are some of you that are thinking I couldn't possibly do that because self-care is selfish. Self-care is not selfish, it's selfless. The more energy you have, the more you're able to give, the more productive you are, the happier you are. So you really can't afford not to take care of yourself. And it just takes 10 minutes, 10 minutes a day. If you can start with 10 minutes, and if you can gradually work your way up to maybe 30 minutes a day, fantastic. But try 10 minutes. 10 minutes of deep breathing, 10 minutes of stretching, 10 minutes of even lying down on the floor or lying on the sofa for, you know, lying flat and resting. That will do you a world of good, and it will help to build the internal strength to combat those messages of not good enough. This one is the one of on my list that is probably the nearest and dearest to my heart. And that's what I call the pretzel syndrome, trying to be someone we aren't in order to fit in. I know this one all too well. From the time I was in middle school until, I'm going to say, my mid to late 30s, I was always trying to be someone I wasn't in order to be loved and to fit in. We're human. We want to be loved. We want to fit in. And here's what I came to realize. By being somebody I wasn't, in order to fit in, people were loving me for something that I wasn't and that wasn't real. And those people were not truly a good fit. So those relationships were extremely short-lived. So in order to overcome that pretzel syndrome, I think it's important to recognize and to really celebrate all that you are. And I want to encourage you, while this might not be an easy exercise to do, it's extremely helpful. I want to encourage you to get out a piece of paper, and at the top of that piece of paper, write the words, I am. And then start listing all the things that you are. I am a good mother. I am a good friend. I am a person with heart. I am a person who cares. OK, Okay, start listing as much as you possibly can. And remember, nobody has to see this list, so nobody's going to look at it and go, oh my goodness, you're also conceited and full of yourself, because that's not what this is about. This is about really highlighting the things that you are and standing strong in who you are and recognizing that who you are is amazing. And if you're having to conform to fit in with somebody else, that says more about the other people you're trying to conform to fit in with than it does about you. So really embrace who you are. Don't be afraid to celebrate all the wonderful qualities that make up you. The other thing that's really helpful to overcome the pretzel syndrome is coming up with affirmations. And the key to affirmations is it's something that has to be positive, and it's something that is present tense. So, for example, I am loving and kind. And that's something you can repeat to yourself over and over and over again. And you don't have to say it out loud if you don't want. It's something you can say to yourself as you're driving in the car, as you're, you know, at work, at your desk. But as you continue to say those affirmations of what you are, you will continue to believe them. And you'll be less likely to turn yourself into a pretzel. This is one that I hear all the time. I'm not attractive enough. Who's going to want me? I'm not attractive enough. I have yet to meet someone who hasn't looked in the mirror and found something that they didn't like about themselves. Yours truly included. I mean, as I mentioned before, you can't open a magazine without seeing some airbrush beauty selling a product that is meant to make us more attractive. What people forget is that beauty truly is an inside job. It truly is. I have met some really beautiful people in my lifetime, and really beautiful people on the outside, but the minute they opened their mouth, they became the most unattractive people I've ever met. Beauty begins at the heart level, and the heart is about love. So I'm going to ask you to do something that I know is going to be difficult, and this is an exercise that was in the book, You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And Louise Hay asks that you stand in front of the mirror and you look yourself square in the eye, and you do this a couple times a day anytime you're in the bathroom, and you say, I love you, to yourself, and you use your name. So you look at yourself in the mirror using your name and say, I love you. And you do it several times. Now, like I said, it may be uncomfortable, but it's well worth it. The other one I mentioned is not wealthy enough. You know, if I had X, I will be good enough. People will view me as good enough. According to who? Society? Your circle of friends? I have to tell you, folks, who you are is not defined by how much you have. So in order to combat, I'd like to ask that you take some time to do a gratitude exercise every day. List the things that you're truly grateful for that you do have, whether that's a good heart, wonderful family, good friends. Okay? That's going to also help overcome the not good enough. I mentioned old stories as well. Old stories are great places to hide, but they also make us feel insignificant and not enough. We keep replaying old stories that don't serve us anymore. So I want you to rewrite your story. Rewrite a story that works for you. Make yourself the heroine or the hero in your story, because that's exactly who you are. And last but not least is trying too hard to please. You know, that goes with parallel to trying to fit in. You know, we give of ourselves until there's nothing left. And so in order to combat that, I want to encourage you to use the filter, what would please me? What would please me? Or how does this serve me? Because when you're creating the awareness, you're creating choices and opportunities for yourself. In addition to the tips I've shared with you today, I want to invite you to join me at the Daily Om. That's dailyom.com. And I'd like to ask invite you to participate in the 8-week course that I launched a couple weeks ago called Overcoming Not Good Enough. This is a self-paced course, and with each lesson, it's delivered to you via email each week. And you can find it by going to the Daily Ohm and looking under courses, and then by title of course, and you'll find it, Overcoming Not Good Enough. In addition, there's a discussion board area where other like-minded individuals are sharing their stories and rendering support. And what's really cool about the Daily Ohm courses is you get to decide what to pay, starting as little as a dollar. So do feel free, join me in that course. And as always, if you need anything, I'm just an email away, pam@whatswithinyou.com. As always, it's a pleasure spending time with you each week. I want to thank my producer, Nate, for writing Shotgun with me as well, and Brent Carey, the visionary behind Empower Radio. Until next week, keep amping up your attraction factor.